Episode 5. We are on California. And Amy's got this one.
Okay, this
wait,
one.
Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Was it easy or hard to find?
There was a few. There was a lot of actors and actresses in the 40s deaths and their agent, just a lot of weird California people going there to
fame.
For fame, yeah. And a lot of those deaths.
But
not ones that piqued my interest.
Because this is the first huge state, in my opinion, right? That and Texas, the really dense populations.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I did have three that I wanted to do and had to narrow it down.
Okay.
To this one.
All right. Let's see if you made a good choice.
This one goes back and forth a lot. So you kind of have to pay attention to names.
I got my notes.
Okay. First, we're going to talk about the Harris brothers.
Okay.
Robert and Daniel. Robert and Daniel were raised in a pretty rough household. They were beat a lot by their dad, and their mother kicked Robert out, who was the oldest at 14. It doesn't say anything about when Daniel ended up being out of the house, but Robert did end up having a lot of run-ins with the cop starting at the age of 10. So he's kind of just a rough kid, which he had a rough upbringing. It's a sad situation. So around May 1978, Robert Harris, now age 25, asked his brother Daniel, now age 18, to help him plan a bank robbery. Daniel kind of laughed it off, thinking his brother was just kidding because he now had a girlfriend and a kid. So Daniel felt like his brother was finally doing okay in life, had a girlfriend, a baby. So he just thought his brother was kidding. Well, on July 1st, Robert asked Daniel again, and this time Daniel took him serious and decided to listen to his brother's plan.
Okay.
He was apparently okay with this plan after hearing it, because the next day they stole a .22 rifle and a 9mm pistol from the neighbor's house.
Okay, I feel like that's a bigger crime than robbery, stealing
guns
weapons
from a neighbor's house. They were not the brightest.
That doesn't seem bright.
So they stole the guns from the neighbor's house. They then went and purchased ammunition, went to the nearby wooded area, and practiced firing the weapons, shooting at trees, running and rolling. A drill they considered appropriate in preparing for a bank robbery.
Oh my gosh.
I just amazing. Imagine them in the woods, this 25-year-old rolling around.
Did you find pictures of him?
No.
Oh, I wish.
So, I mean, I do have pictures, his mugshot. But not of, them shooting and playing in the woods.
I'm not saying it's bad or I'm not making fun of it at all. But I picture LARPing with weapons.
Yeah, them just being super childish in the woods with their guns.
Right.
Yeah.
Rolling around. And I'm surprised no one got shot.
Yeah.
On accident.
They then went back to the Roberts house where him and his girlfriend and his child lived. The following morning, so July 4th, their brothers purchased more ammunition, as well as knitted caps that they later burned eye holes in to serve as their masks for robbing the bank. They literally sound 10-year-old boys.
Well, I feel like this is one of those comedy movies.
They just sound such young, immature boys. Let's go rob a bank.
It's like Harv and the Home Alone guys.
Oh yeah,
Marv
and Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
clueless.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. That afternoon, they went to the lake near their house and continued practice shooting their guns. They next drove around town and around the bank that they were planning to rob, scoping the place out. They went back home to rest up for the next day, the day they planned on robbing the bank.
They were smart going July 4th because it was closed.
That's true, probably, right? Huh?
So that was smart.
Maybe. They probably didn't plan that.
Scope it out.
Okay, now we're going to switch gears for a little bit and talk about Sharon, Sam, and their family.
Sharon, Sam, and their family.
Yep.
Do they have a last name?
Mankins.
Oh, okay.
So Sharon and Sam Mankins lived a normal American life. They had been married for 3 years, each bringing three kids from previous marriages. Sam's wife died from cancer, and Sharon had divorced Steve, who was a police officer, and her kid's father.
It's like the real-life Brady Bunch, yeah. Right? That's cool.
Well, July was like any other 4th of July in America. Barbecues, family, friends, fireworks. When they returned home that night, she said goodnight to all of her kids, and that included her 16-year-old son, Michael. The next morning, her son Michael and his best friend John, who were both good, quiet, easygoing kids, just starting to notice girls and having interest in them, and were just excited about life. They left the house early that morning. The boys were going to go and find some summer jobs. They were hoping to lift or haul for a moving company nearby, and to celebrate the fact that they both had driver's licenses now. After no luck with their jobs, the boys decided to stop and get a hamburger before they went off to go fishing. Now, during this time, Sharon and Sam were packing up the rest of the family to go to the beach. After having a fun long day at the beach, Sharon and Sam returned to their home and found that their street that their house was on was blocked off by the police. The police let them know that they were looking for a bank robber who believed to be in the neighborhood, and then they let the family into their driveway. A short time after the family had gotten into their house and had started to relax, there was a knock at the door. When Sam opened up the door, it was an officer, and he asked to see a picture of Michael. Confused by this, Sharon asked why. He said the car that Michael had been driving was used in the bank robbery, but that Michael was nowhere near the car and could not be found. Sam immediately got in his car and started driving around town looking for the boys. Sharon went down the street to John's house to be with John's mother while they waited there for word about their boys. Okay, now we're going to switch back to the Harris brothers.
Okay.
Well, that morning they woke up on July 5th and headed out to rob the bank. They put on their crazy homemade ski masks and walked into the bank, robbed it, and ran out with $2,000 in cash at 12:30 and headed back to the Roberts house. Little did they know that someone outside the bank had seen them rob it and decided to follow them home. That witness called the police after the brothers had pulled into the garage and let them know that he followed the bank robbers and knew where they lived. The police showed up to Robert's house at 1:05. So they ran out of the bank at 12:30 and the police arrested them in their house at 1:05. And remember that I said that Sharon's former husband, Michael's dad, was a cop? Well, he was one of the arresting officers. Little did he know he would be more involved with this case than he thought.
Real quick, I just want to say, $2,000 in 1978, you said?
Yep.
$9,000 with inflation is what it's estimated to be.
It's not bad. So they probably thought they were doing great.
But like under $10,000,
I think. For a bank robber. For a bank robbery.
Yeah. I mean, you're sacrificing a lot for $10,000.
Yeah. $10,000 can go fast.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So we're going to bring this crazy back and forth story together. Let's go back to the boys sitting in Michael's car at the fast food restaurant across from a bank eating their hamburgers. They were just minding their own business when some guy got in the back seat, pointed a gun at them, and told them to start driving. If you haven't guessed by now, the guy that got in the back of the seat was Robert Harris. While on their way to rob the bank, they decided that they needed a getaway car. So they pulled into the fast food restaurant across the street from the bank they had planned on robbing. They saw a car with two boys in it and figured they would be an easy target. Robert assured Daniel that nobody would get hurt and told him to follow him in the other car. Michael and John followed Robert's directions, scared for their lives towards the lake that the brothers had been to earlier to practice shooting. At the foot of a trail, Robert made the boys park the car, then get out and start walking up the trail with the gun pointed at them, with Daniel behind them holding the rifle. The brothers asked the boys if they had any rope in their car. They replied that they didn't, but that they would walk to the very top of the hill, wait until the brothers drove away, and then they would just report the car as stolen, giving the police misleading descriptions of the thieves. Robert approved of this. So the boys began walking up the hill. Daniel was relieved by this and started walking back to the car. But then suddenly he heard a shot.
Oh my heck.
Turning around, he saw John fall to the ground. Robert had shot the boy in the back with the pistol. Then Robert shot another bullet at John's head. Then Raph ran after Michael. Finding Michael crouched down in the bush, Robert shot him 4 times. Oh my gosh. Robert then walked back to John's body and shot him in the head 2nd time. He grabbed the rifle that Daniel had now dropped in shock and shot Michael 1 more time.
The shotgun?
Mm-hmm.
Or the rifle?
Yeah, the rifle. They both got into Michael's car, leaving Robert's car behind, and drove off. Robert picked up the boys' remaining food that was in the car and started to eat it.
This guy's crazy. Yeah. This guy's nuts.
Yeah. Asking his shocked brother if he wanted any and then laughing at him for not having the stomach to eat it. Robert continued to mock the whole thing, saying that he nearly shot the kid's arm off and then laughing about it. He said some horrible things, like so horrible and gruesome that I didn't even want to like type it because I didn't want to say it. So there's like a lot more like of him mocking and saying horrible things.
About these two boys?
Yeah, about what he did to him and just like laughing and...
Holy, so he is psychotic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even want to say what he said.
I don't want to know.
Yeah. He was That's very... That's funny.
We're doing a crime podcast.
And I don't want to say the details.
The details. That's awesome.
It was gross. And I don't.
And I don't want to know. Maybe we shouldn't be doing
a podcast. Just know that he was not a good guy and like just laughing and mocking the whole time.
I believed it when you said he shot people. So.
Gosh. Okay. Then they went on to robbing the bank using Michael's car as their getaway car. But like we talked about earlier, they didn't get away with it. And when Michael's dad came to arrest Robert, he had no idea that Michael's car was used for the getaway car and that this man had killed his son. So the dad's showing up to this guy's house. You know, he's the arresting officer. He's on duty. He shows up to Robert's house to arrest the guy for a bank robbery. And he doesn't even know that what this man has done. He doesn't know that his own son's car is in the garage.
So the officer comes into the house, arrests Robert, not the brother.
No, he arrested both. They arrested both of them.
But they didn't search the house? They didn't search the garage? They didn't look for the money?
I'm sure they did. Oh. But like in that moment when he's arresting him, he didn't know his son's car was in the garage.
I'm just, in my mind, I'm thinking like, all these like movies and TV shows I've watched as they secure each room and whatever. Okay, sorry.
You're okay. Okay, so like we said, later they found the car in the garage along with the 2 guns that they stole and shot the boys with and clothes from the murder scene in the fireplace. While at the police station, Daniel admitted to everything in detail. So this is why we have so much stuff in detail. Like knowing how they practiced in the trees and knowing all of the gross things that Robert said, because Daniel was probably in such shock that his brother did all this that he was at the police station probably scared and he just admitted to all the details. So he didn't try to cover it up or anything. He just told them.
Right. And he's the younger brother mm-hmm. of the two, right?
He's 18.
So he's just kind of, I mean... His older brother just did some horrific things.
Yeah.
And this is all pretty quick to him. I'm sure for Robert, it's been a while that he's been thinking about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and he's been doing bad things since he was 10.
Yeah. So I can't even imagine the shock of Daniel.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Okay, so then they had to go and tell the mothers that were waiting to hear something, that their sons had been murdered. Sharon says that as soon as she got the news, she ran out of the neighbor's house and started running towards her house just needing comfort from anyone in her family, not remembering that the boy's stepfather was still driving around looking for them. Ugh. An officer caught up to Sharon, and she ended up going back to John's house with John's mother and going to the hospital to identify the boys.
Nothing worse. Can't right? imagine anything worse.
No, having to go and, like, see. Because even going there, you're still hoping that it's not your kid.
I mean, no parent should bury their kid.
So then after Robert heard that his brother confessed to everything and told the police in detail what had happened, Robert confessed himself having no remorse for what he had done. July 7th, they both confessed again to a criminal investigator from the district attorney's office. Robert also confessed to a fellow inmate. When the inmate asked why he killed those boys, he said, "I couldn't have punks running around that could identify me, so I wasted them." 6 months later, Robert was charged with murder, robbery, kidnap, auto theft, and burglary. After a series of appeals, he was finally executed in 1992, 14 years after the murders.
So he's found guilty of capital murder. In California, they had the death penalty then?
I guess.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I don't think they do now.
I think they said that was the gas chamber.
No way.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and relook, but I remember reading that, but I could be totally wrong.
Holy cow.
But 14 years. So he had a good lawyer that was claiming that he just had a horrible upbringing and kind of making that background as an excuse to why Robert was the way he was now.
Right, which I understand the logic there, but there's no
justification for what zero. He did.
Zero. Like, literally, he is crazy.
Yeah. But so that's why it took 14 years, because there was like all these different like appeals, like series of appeals.
Oh, I'm sure.
This back and forth. So imagine being like John and Michael's family, where they just want to see justice and they're having to go back and forth with their emotions and hear on the TV all the time.
I'm sure his upbringing contributed to his sure. mental, for sure, 100%. Yeah. I think he's crazy.
Yeah. But luckily he didn't get to do the whole insanity plea. So he was executed in 1992. Well, Daniel was convicted of kidnapping and bank robbery and sentenced to 6 years in prison. He was discharged in 1983. It talks a lot about Sharon's feelings in waiting those 14 years. And she says, finally at the end, she said she was beyond angry that it took so long for this horrible man to see his death day.